Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Paula Bovin on today's show. We'll visit with Paula. She's going to be at the Diamondbacks game. Why they stink and what's going on there. And they're going to get this thing turned around. I saw they posted some video over the weekend, and thank goodness I didn't see Tony La Russa or Chip Hale in it, but I don't know if it's trying to relieve the pressure of a bad season. In baseball, you judge the seasons by this. When you get to May 31st, you pretty much know what you have, okay? And then you get to the 4th of July, and that's another benchmark, and then you get to the trade deadline, and then you get to September 1st in the postseason. So this is the first benchmark, and it's not good. There's no other way to put it. I'm going to sit here and sugarcoat this stuff. And De La Rosa's hurt now, so we'll talk with Paul. I don't want to be all gloom and doom. And then Kendra D. St. Aubin is going to be with us. This is a big week in the Valley for soccer and actually across our country. USA takes on Colombia in the Copa America tournament. You've been watching the show. We've been running spots and commercials for this over the last few weeks. And huge crowds that they're expecting. 23-day tournament starts on Friday with the USA match. And Kendra is actually the lead sideline reporter for Fox. She did a very good job on the Women's World Cup last year, and she's a Valley resident, so I want to talk some soccer with her. Mexico and Uruguay is Sunday night here in the Valley, and that is at 5 o'clock. Chicharitos there for Mexico. I was in, I took a break, just decompressed, and went over to the coast for the weekend. And as I was getting away from sports, I did manage to find my way to Oklahoma City and Golden State. Did manage to sit through a couple of the Diamondback games because they were playing San Diego. So the games were on at the family house we were staying at. I'm going to get into the Todd Graham Baylor story here in a little bit because that happened on Thursday. First of all, I'm just going to say I'm not surprised by his name popping up there. That's a. I think Chris Berman's agent tried to do a news dump and couldn't get out of his own way. And if Chris Berman's leaving ESPN, I'm going to get into that a little bit because I don't think there's too many people that are upset with this move. I could be wrong on this. It's just what I see and how I think it's run its course. So I'm going to get into that. The other thing that happened over the weekend. So some of you that have heard me through the years know that I have a background in working with animals. I used to show horses professionally as a kid out on the West Coast. I worked at the San Diego Wild Animal Park with elephants when I was in college and birds of prey and llamas and camels and I was a show announcer and all sorts of things. A great job to have. You made $10 an hour. You got to wear shorts. You get to work with girls and you were with animals. I mean, how cool is that? While I was going to, through school, my girlfriend who eventually became my wife, she ended up working there with babies, baby hippos, baby rhinos, and other babies in their animal care center, and actually ended up training dolphins for the military in a capacity for years and years before we came to Phoenix. The dolphin training industry in Phoenix is a little light. So we have a background with animals. So Harambe pops up on Saturday morning, and I don't know what it was like out here. Eric, were you in on the Harambe deal, the gorilla that was put down at the Cincinnati Zoo? Were you into any of that stuff over the weekend?
It was hard not to be. It was everywhere. Everyone was talking about it, and today everyone is still talking about it.
I've got my Sirius XM satellite radio on, and every channel that was news-related, all they were doing was Harambe. And then I saw this morning where Trump weighed in.
Of course.
Trump's out at some convention and somebody asks him, hey, where do you add on Harambe being taken down or not? And I'm thinking, are you nuts? Like, I get it that you want to get to know a candidate, but are there more serious issues than where he stands on whether the gorilla should have been taken down or not? You know, when I watched that, and again, this was 30 years ago being involved with animals and training and all that stuff. And I was never around gorillas. Gorillas would come by the monorail. Those of you that have been at the San Diego Wild Animal Park, now they politically corrected it. It's like a toned down thing. So they end up saying that in the Harambe case, that the mom is bad because the kid got away from her. And I'm thinking kids get away from parents all the time. And then there's the, well, the gorilla should have been taken down because the gorilla is dragging the child through the water. And I'm thinking that on this one, they probably didn't have any choice. But I just couldn't believe in a weekend where there was so much going on a holiday that we should be talking about Memorial Day, it came down to a gorilla. So that was on my mind from the weekend. And then we had Golden State winning over the Thunder. The Thunder just gagged. The ratings, and I'm going to get into this in a little bit, the ratings for what happened last night were the most watched NBA on TNT broadcast ever. And so I'm going to get into that a little bit as the show moves along as well. And Kevin Durant, look, if the Suns went after LaMarcus Aldridge and you're doing your due diligence, don't you at least pick up the phone and call? Don't you at least do that? I'm not saying they're going to get him, but if you're a responsible general manager, team president, anybody at all, you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call. So we'll get into that here a little bit later as well. So that's what's on my mind. We'll take a quick time out here, and then we'll get to Todd Graham and some of the other things going on in the world of sports. Paula is at 10:30, Kendra Diaz-Sinabin at 10:50, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmap. Now, all that said, as we talked about Kevin Durant and his future, I can't get away from Golden State and Oklahoma City from last night and just flat out look at it and say the better team, I think the better team won. I think the better individuals did not. I mean, Durant was really good late. Westbrook imploded, I thought. And so now you turn the page and you start to look at Golden State and Cleveland. And it's a terrific finals. It's always great when there are rematches. It will be fun to see the numbers on this. I don't think that this defines what Steph Curry's all about. If they don't win, they've already won. If LeBron James doesn't win, how many more chances is LeBron James going to have? Cleveland is rested. So last year at this time, Cleveland was all beat up, if we remember. I mean, Eric, it was like Kyrie Irving last year and Kevin Love and down Shumpert. Down the list, Cleveland was not healthy, and it was LeBron against Golden State, and it was really interesting and intriguing, but I think this is going to be a better series, don't you?
I agree. I think it's going to be a very good series. I think it's going to be a 7-game series. And as of right now, I mean, the Warriors are the favorite because they're the defending champions. But I think people may be sleeping a little bit on the Cavs, if that's even possible, just because they play in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, but if Golden State, let's just say that Golden State goes on and wins and does it convincingly, okay? Cleveland's not been pushed. I don't care what you say about Toronto. Toronto was out gambling at 4 a.m. on game day of game. I think it was game 5 or something. It was just dumb.
Yep.
And so you look at Toronto and say Toronto versus Oklahoma City. Come on, that's not even close. If Oklahoma City's over in the East, Cleveland just hasn't played anybody. I'm not going to count the Atlanta Hawks and the Detroit Pistons as anything more than speed bumps versus what Golden State has had to go through to get to this point.
And to this point, the only time the Warriors have lost is when essentially they just haven't made shots. I mean, last night, first half, they struggled. Second yep. half, they didn't struggle. I mean, it's pretty black and white. And when Steph and Thompson get going, I mean, the Splash Brothers are on. They're unbeatable.
Well, but here's the thing about last night, I thought. So you're right. I mean, if they don't make their shots, it's the old live by the three, die by the three. But when you have Varejao, who, by the way, is very close with LeBron, from my understanding. So those two are going to have fun with one another. I don't know how much Varejao is going to be on the court, but Varejao gave them a really good couple of minutes last night. Spates came in and hit a big three for them last night. So when you can have some of these guys that are nothing more than role players, Leandro Barbosa came in and gave them a shot. So I thought in the middle part of the series, I thought that Billy Donovan was out coaching Steve Kerr. I thought he had Steve Kerr back on his heels. In fact, Steve Kerr said after last night's game that Billy Donovan and his coaching staff did a terrific job at going tit for tat with them. And if I'm looking at the Ty Lue coach against Steve Kerr coach, I'd have to say that's a mismatch. I would have to say that because he's never been there. Tyronn Lue's not been there as a head coach. So, you know, they're already behind in that way. And I look at Kevin Love and feel as though because Kevin Love really produced. You know, I was on the Kevin Love to the Suns thing a couple of years ago. Would have loved to have seen him here. It'd be an upgrade over anything else that's been on this roster. But I feel like this is really his legacy series. Like, I'm here, I'm healthy, I'm going to play well, I'm going to really make my mark.
You just have to wonder, though, if this is the year that Cleveland sports finally breaks the bad karma. LeBron came back to Cleveland to do one thing and one thing only. Got close last year, came in with a completely depleted, injured roster, as we talked about. But I wonder, you know, are people sort of, I won't say over the Warriors, but I wonder if you're just plain Joe basketball fan, if you want to see LeBron get that title for the Cavs, or if you're hoping the Warriors finish off what has already been just a ridiculously incredible year.
No, there's those haters on LeBron. There's always going to be those haters on LeBron. I don't think that there's people rooting for LeBron. I think there's more. Steph Curry is somebody that you can root more for. Now, it's interesting how in the last few weeks, players around the league and former players have taken their shots at Steph Curry. You know, Steph Curry ends up reciting the players that were drafted ahead of him, just like Draymond Green did. I don't know. Do you really need to go to that point?
And I don't get all the hate on LeBron. Okay, yeah, the decision happened. It was poorly handled. It was not professional. But what else has this guy done besides that one incident to make him like public enemy number one? I mean, he's a great teammate, never gets in trouble, makes everyone around him better. He's a winner. I guess I just don't understand all the public fire when it comes to LeBron.
Now, see, on the ratings end of things, so I mentioned off the top, last night was the most the highest rated game in the history of TNT last night. And I'm supposed to flip over to SportsCenter to get all my sports news. And I've got Stephen A. Smith just screaming away about a bunch of nothing. And I go back and I'm watching how TNT handled themselves. So, and I don't know, I'm a fan of Craig Sager. Craig Sager's in the battle for his life, literally, with what's going on inside of his body with cancer. David Aldridge does what David Aldridge has done. He's a comfortable pair of jeans. When you're watching something, it's comforting to see him. Ernie Johnson down on the podium handled himself with grace and aplomb. Charles, Kenny, and Shaq did their thing afterwards. And I've got two TVs on because the Sharks game was on at the same time as in the Penguins, and I wanted to watch both. And I flipped it over just to see what ESPN was doing. And man, oh man, what a train wreck that was. And that leads me over to Chris Berman. So Chris Berman is leaving ESPN, or he's not, according to his agent, or he is, according to those inside the building, that they're going to scale him back. I am done with him. I've been done with him for, I don't know, 20 years. Where are you at on this one?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep with not seeing Chris Berman in a more open capacity like he's been.
I mean, the Home Run Derby, the NFL Draft, and NFL Sunday Countdown, all that stuff, if he shows up on there, it's fine. But this is another, I thought last night really spoke to what we're seeing going on in our industry. And you people, you consume it. You watch it. You have your favorites. You have your favorite channel. You have your favorite personalities and all that stuff. But last night, TNT just did a terrific, terrific job. Even when I'm watching or watch the Eastern Conference Finals, which I watched very little of because it was no interest in Toronto and Cleveland, but I would watch it. And I like Doug Collins. Doug Collins, I would consider a friend, but I think in that show with Jalen Rose and Sage Steele, it's just kind of like, are you kidding me? This is the JV against the varsity.
And we live in a modern society where everything is fast and everything is trending young, and there's really not much modern, trendy, and young about Chris Berman anymore.
No. So they tried to sweep that one under the rug. That's the good old fashioned. And we got some news we don't want out, and it pops out on Memorial Day weekend. We hope people don't pay attention to it. His contract's going to expire after this season. Vern Lundquist, speaking of broadcast stuff, and then I'll get over to some about Durant and the Suns here in a second. So it comes out this morning that Vern Lundquist, and we're not SEC out here, so I get it. There's some that are like, you know, I don't care about SEC football, Vern Lundquist. Well, let me just fill you in on something. The SEC, in my opinion, is the best football conference that is out there. You can argue all you want if you're a Pac-12 fan. Facts are facts. Top to bottom. The Big Ten, same deal. And so this is a shot. This is somebody that I do look forward to. When I hear Vern Lundquist doing Alabama-Auburn, okay, or Texas A&M-Alabama or LSU, whatever it is, He and Gary Danielson, that is a very comforting, well-informed, entertaining sound. Now, Brad Nessler is going to take his spot. I'm fine with Brad Nessler. I'm not going to tune in to hear what Brad Nessler had to say as much as when Vern Lundquist finds his way into telling stories about the SEC. He's still going to do the Masters, and I have to hear Vern Lundquist on the Masters. So it's not like he's going away, but there's some real pillars on our industry just in the last few months, or names that people are familiar with that are just, as we've seen the industry change and get decimated by digital, by what you're watching me on now, it's just changed. It really has changed. Paula Bovin here in about 6 minutes. Back on Durant. And I know I'm all over the place today, but it's Monday and I got tons of stuff on my head here.
Ah, I caught you. It's a Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Thank you. It's just like I said, it's a Tuesday. It's my Monday. I'm going to skip my Wednesday, Thursday. Am I on scholarship? I'm on the Eric plan this week. I'm on the Eric plan. I'm today and then that's it. Which is, you know, it's fine. So if Durant, if it's his final game at OKC, and if I'm the Phoenix Suns and I went after LaMarcus All, just follow me here for a minute, because I'm not saying he's coming here. But I would at least like, or does it not look well on the Suns if they keep saying, we've reached out to these superstars and they keep saying no? You should at least say, we are going to call Kevin Durant's people. We should at least explore the possibility of Kevin Durant coming here. If we're sitting here with a basketball team that is saying, we are not going to go chase the top free agents, then I don't see where we're going with this, because they need to land one eventually. Okay. And if you were the ones that say, well, that'll never happen, it'll never happen, I don't know. The Suns found a way to go acquire a big name player in Charles Barkley and bring him here. The Suns found a way to convince Steve Nash to come back to Phoenix. I know it doesn't happen often. They flirted with Kobe Bryant when he became available. If they pursued LaMarcus Aldridge last year, which they did, they put a banner up downtown to proclaim that we are in on LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm not saying go throw banners up there the day he decides to go to San Antonio and you look silly. But you should at least go explore. That's my point on this. And I would like to see them do that. I really believe that I'm not going to look at them and say they got shut down again. Kevin Durant didn't want to come here. If you don't ask out the best looking girl, and if she turned you down and turned you, eventually you're going to get one. That's what happened to me. Took 100. Eric, that's what happened to you, right? I mean, I'm not wrong on this.
No, you're not wrong on it. You're only wrong on what day it is. Because today, again, like I said, is Tuesday. But you're on my work schedule where you only work like one day a week. So I get it. I can relate.
Yeah, I'm on the Eric plan. I can do this at the end of May. All right. Did you guys talk Todd Graham on Thursday when I was off? Did you get into that whole deal?
Duh. Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because anytime any sort of job that opens in Texas, it automatically just has to link Todd Graham's name to it.
Okay, so under that, and me knowing you, your tone is he's not going there, and it's silly that his name popped up.
I don't think it's silly that his name popped up. I just wonder, sure, Todd Graham is interested in Baylor, but what is Baylor's interest in Todd Graham?
Well, if I'm Baylor, okay, and I'm paying $4 million a year to Art Briles, and that's above where Todd is. Has Todd done what Art Briles has done at Baylor? The answer obviously is no. You guys had Mac Engel on Thursday, and he's the columnist down there. And so he knows. Mac wrote last night that they should go chase Mike Leach.
Makes sense.
Yeah. You think?
Sure. Sonny Dykes. Makes sense. SMU's Chad Morris. Makes sense.
Tom Herman, Houston.
Tom Herman. Makes sense. TCU's Doug Meacham. Makes sense. Like, that's where we get into this. Yeah. Todd Graham's a possibility, but there are at least a handful of other names that Baylor would probably like before they get down to Todd Graham's level.
Okay. When you say down to his level, because he's not won big at Arizona State, you would say back-to-back 10-win seasons isn't big, or he's not a big enough name in Texas?
I would just think Todd Graham gets to Baylor and the Texas job opens. Or for some reason, the Oklahoma job opens. Is he already trying to step up to the next ladder? Because that's just what Todd Graham has been known to do.
But in this case, okay, I would say, first of all, you're a TCU guy, so this makes you nervous. The thought of Todd Graham going there just turns your stomach upside down because your vaunted Frogs would be in trouble, right?
No.
Okay. And then and then you and I have had this conversation through the last few years that I believe Todd will look to leave Arizona State simply because at some point he was not Ray Anderson's hire. At some point, marriages end unless you have huge amounts of success. And to this point, Arizona State has not had huge amounts of success. Now, you would say, well, they won 10 games. And if you look at the bowls that they've gone to, I wouldn't say that that's the top tier of the bowl games. I mean, the last time I checked, U of A got to a Fiesta Bowl before ASU did, right?
Sure.
So I'm of the opinion that in Todd's case, yeah, he's going to be like most coaches. You have to have an eye. And I've had some people that have told me, you'll love Todd Graham in year one, year two, year three. By year four, he's going to start to grate on you a little bit. In year five, you're going to want him to leave. Now, I haven't felt that personally, and I can only go off of personally. But have I heard things over on campus that have made me feel like there are those that are saying it is time to go a different direction? Yeah. Yeah. But I haven't heard that from way up the food chain. I haven't heard it from way up top, and nor would I. And I can only go off if somebody treats me with respect and I do the same to them, that's all I can go off. I'm not going to go off of how this high school coach was offended that they didn't show up on his or her campus, you know, or that this kid wasn't recruited by him the right way. I'm not going to go off that stuff. Like, I think Todd's done some really good things when it comes to recruiting here recently. Conrad Hamilton and Donnie Yannis needed to happen. There's a reason why Todd was chasing Charlie Rago before he went down to Tucson. He's the reason why he met with Steve Bellis. He's the reason why he chased Sean Aguano. These are the top high school coaches, Jason Mons. He chased them or talked with them. Wasn't a good fit for whatever reason. And I think the two hires that he's had with Conrad Hamilton and Donnie Yannis just here in the last couple of months, from what I'm hearing, are making big differences around the Valley and around the state for that matter.
I guess, Brad, if you look at it, if you're one of Baylor's big boosters and you're a deep pocket and you're looking at Baylor either bringing in Todd Graham or somebody like Mack Brown, like, you just can't compare. There are just so many other names that are a better fit at that school right now than Todd Graham. And that's nothing against Todd, because I agree. I think he's done a really good job here. But I just can't see this. I just can't see it happening.
But is that because, okay, I know we've got to get to Paul here in a minute, but is that because it's Arizona State, which, and people from ASU hate it when I bring this up, but guys, and even some former players will acknowledge it now that they're on the outside looking in, there's a bit of a mirage around this job.
No question.
Until you win big, not 10 games, until you win big, this job is always going to be a mirage. Like, Bobby Hurley's come in here, and in one short year, he's convinced three of the top 100 kids in the nation to decide to come to Arizona State. They finally, after years and years and years of 20 years of excuses over there of poor basketball scheduling, they finally have gotten rid of directional schools, and they're playing a legitimate top 15 schedule. That job's been a mirage. So, you know, you go off the leadership and Ray's come in here and Ray has done what's needed to be done. That's swept out a bunch of the old thinking. And in Todd's case, you know, if Todd's looking around saying, okay, I've put a lot of money into this stadium, Ray and I are joined by the hip, they may be outwardly, I don't know if they are behind the scenes. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that works, but I would agree with you, Eric. I don't think he's the number one choice there. But maybe it's because he's at a job where it just doesn't have the national appeal reputation. Then again, Mike Leach is in Pullman, of all places, but they know him from Texas Tech. I'm going to continue this with Paula here in a minute. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She's over there at the Diamondbacks. It looks like they're going to lose De La Rosa for, I don't know, hopefully not the season. It's going to be with Dr. Andrews. But man, are they a mess. And we'll talk more with Paula about Todd Graham and some other things on my mind. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. Kendra D. St. Aubin will join us in about 15 minutes. Valley resident, top analyst for Fox Sports 1 with Copa America this weekend, USA. taking on Columbia. She'll be with us at about 10:50.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. She is at the Diamondbacks. I saw they released some video over the weekend. I don't know if that's for levity purposes. I'm not quite sure what it's all about to have people dancing around and jumping around when you're closer to last than first. So I'm a little grumpy with that, but you're down there, and what are you looking at here? Are we looking at, let's just turn our attention to the Cardinals and get it over with on May 31st?
No, I don't think so. And you know, I've gone back and forth with the Diamondbacks, Brad, but first of all, the video, and I know people have a problem with it. I don't at all. And this is something Justin Timberlake kind of put out a challenge to different people and said, do something with this video. And the videos have been, you know, I think the city of Gilbert did one. I have no issue with the Diamondbacks doing one. I don't think it's making light of their situation. They're not using current players in the video. I think it's just another way to try to kind of connect with fans. Justin Timberlake retweeted it. So I don't have a problem with that at all. But what is it now? I think now is just sort of they're in that wait and see mode. I'm sure they're thinking, you know, we're not as much as this year was going to be a target year. I think they're hoping now, well, let's make what our acquisitions in the offseason were be about our 2-year or 3-year plan. I've been in the clubhouse a lot the last few days. I mean, this clubhouse seems fine. Sometimes you can kind of get a little bit of a temperature of what's sure. going on there. I think players are frustrated, but I think, you know, I think everybody's just sit there waiting and hoping things turn around because that's all you can do. And it has with guys like Goldschmidt and, you know, for the most part, Greinke. It's just some of the other things that are happening.
Okay, so that brings into the point of leadership here. So Paul Goldschmidt is a lot of things, but he's not a big talker, at least outwardly. And it's not that he shies away from it. It's just not his deal from what I've seen through the years. And Greinke has social anxiety, so he's not the guy. So then you look at like a free spirit like Brad Ziegler, who's done terrific. He's been great. And it continues to go out and save games. After that, I'm looking around on this roster, and I know with Pollock being out that they've lost that, and I can't keep hearing about A.J. Pollock all season long. I know when you lose an all-star center fielder, but I don't think that's the lone reason why they are closer to last than first. So my question is, where does the leadership from the clubhouse come to on this one?
Well, you know what? It's a great question, and maybe that's part of the problem. To be completely honest, I'm not connected with this team enough where I feel like, you know, those people are obvious. Maybe some things are happening behind the scenes, but you're right. I mean, there clearly is no evidence of one specific person. Now, like I said, it's a really, really good clubhouse, a good group of guys, and so I don't think there's any kind of animosity or anything like that, but it sure does help when you have someone in the clubhouse that kind of knows how to rally the troops, and I don't necessarily see that, so I'm not sure how much that is an issue. You know, I think the starting pitching has been more of the issue than anything, and so
I go back, Paula, when times are tough, and I have to go back to the team that won the World Series because they're the only Valley franchise that has won a title. So I have to go back to that, and that team was loaded with guys from top to bottom on the roster that you could look at and say, that guy's got it figured out. That guy knows how to get into somebody else's kitchen. That and I'm not going to buy into that, well, it's a different game in this day and age. You still have to have leadership in any sport with any team. Doesn't matter who it is.
I agree. And that team had a bunch of accomplished veterans on that roster who have been through, you know, different situations. And I thought that was valuable, you know, and you think about those days, and Luis Gonzalez has talked about it, you know, that there was that one corner of the locker room where there was Luis and there was Mark Grace, and they would sit around for hours after the clubhouse would close and drink beers and talk about, you know, baseball, and that's probably not happening anywhere in the game anymore. But they did. That was a team loaded with leadership, no question about it.
Well, and you have Mark Grace on the staff from that team, and you have Matt Williams on the staff from that team. You have the manager of that team sitting upstairs with a headset on, analyzing it every night. So I guess I just have to start peeling it back. And I'll get to the player personnel stuff, because when you lose your number two pitcher who you gave up all sorts of stuff to get, assets to get, I think it's fine that he's going down on the farm to find himself, because I think he'd gone down the rabbit hole. I think he took the red pill or the blue pill and decided just to disappear. When are we going to see Shelby Miller back up here? What are you hearing?
They seem not concerned about his health, you know, and that's been sort of the what really is there a health issue at all? So they seem to make it, everything I've heard, they're making it sound like soon, but I have not heard when. But it seems like it's something they think is going to happen quickly. You know, I wrote something Sunday, just sort of looking at it. Just, I went exactly one calendar year and what's happened with Shelby Miller. And gosh, when you go 2-22 during that time and you've been a good pitcher for much of that time, that has to beat on you. Just beat up on you. And I'm just playing armchair psychologist here, but I just think that stuff takes you a while to recover. And I can't help but feel that coupled with expectations is, has gotten in his head. But, you know, I don't have a degree in that. That's just my opinion.
No, and your opinion matters. That's why you're on every week. Paula Bovin with us, AZ Central Sports columnist. All right, Todd Graham and Baylor, is this a fit? Is this something that through his back channels, he's happy his name is out there? Yeah, he wasn't raised higher. We all know that. We've seen that since day one, that we have all wondered, is Todd going to be here long term? Is he going to be a job jumper and all that stuff? What do you make out of Todd Graham's name in Baylor?
Well, that changes day to day with me too, Brad. I mean, bottom line to me is, of course, he probably loves that it's being mentioned. He's a coach, and to succeed, you've got to have a large ego in this business. He has one. So to have his name mentioned, I'm sure he loves. You know, for all the issues of, you know, Ray Anderson didn't hire him. I think there was some tension after Bo Graham left the program, all that stuff. I still think there's a lot of things he likes about being here. They've got a, you know, they've got a pretty fancy spanking new stadium coming up. We talked about his wife Penny loves it here. I mean, there's a lot of things I think that he really enjoys about this. And so I guess, you know, and it's been his career goal the last 5 years to show that he's not a job jumper. Now, I think he's proven that's not the case by staying here, at least now. But my gut feeling is that's not happening. And I have not got a strong enough vibe from Baylor that there's a that there is huge interest. There may be, but I haven't felt that.
Baylor's a better job than Arizona State is today, Paula. Other than the conference situation, the Big 12, in my view, Baylor is a better job. It pays better, right? There's $4 million plus a year for Art Briles.
Right.
He's sitting right there in a state where you can just get in a car and go find a slew of players. You're one of the top 10, top 15 programs in the nation. Arizona State is not there yet. They're getting there, but people that say, well, it's a top 10, top, it's not. They haven't proven it. So
no, I agree with it.
So you have to just look at it from that standpoint, that it's a better job. So of course he should, if it's his agent that's putting it out there and using us, which coaches do all the time, players do. I mean, that's the way it works. Oh yeah, I'd love having my name show up down there. But I guess I turn it around, and is Ray Anderson looking at this saying, if Todd Graham walked out the door tomorrow, Ray Anderson would have a slew of people that might be able to push this into a top 15, top 10 job with the stadium, as you pointed out, coming online. I guess if Todd left, I don't think that there'd be people saying, what happened to this program? How could we not keep Todd Graham here?
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know, Brad. First of all, I think Baylor, they would be dumb not to look at Graham. I mean, if you're looking for someone who's going to fix things out, fix it up, he's a guy. He cleans up programs. He adds discipline to programs. He does that thing. So I think they'd be dumb not to look at him. I'm not saying he's the best hire because there's some options, but, I would think there'd have to be at least a cursory, you know, a speck of interest and asking some questions. But there's a lot of good guys out there, too, who kind of fit that mold. And so that's why I'm not 100% certain there's huge interest.
Yeah. I mean, the tone of your voice is he's not going there, Brad. So let's move on. That's what it sounds
like. That's my my feeling, because every time I talked to him, which was as much as 3 weeks ago outside the Biltmore, he kept saying, I am here for life. I am here for life. You know, now we know most coaches can't survive for life at jobs, but he seems sincere. You know, we don't know if that's true. Coaches often aren't, but that was my gut feeling.
All right. Are you going to have to write a Chip Hale is safe column? Is there any reason to even go down that path?
The Chip Hale is what?
Safe. They're not going to make a move with the manager. I mean, I'm just wondering if it's time to do the vote of confidence from ownership on this one with him, or we're still a ways away from.
Yeah, no, but fans are restless, and you know they had a nice little run there until yesterday. I don't think we're there quite yet, but I was just thinking about it before you called, and for me, it's hard to throw the blame on him. I mean, you know, there are some in-game decisions maybe he's made, but I don't know. I don't feel like what's happened is something you blame Chip Hale for. I certainly see a guy who players like him, who puts a lot of work in, who, you know, works to get this kind of job. I don't see a ton of mistakes he's made. So it would be hard for me to justify the team getting rid of him, in my opinion. I know sometimes you have to find a scapegoat, somebody to represent, you know, the decision of the organization that they're making a change, but this one's hard for me to buy.
So then it'd be Dave Stewart or Tony La Russa, because they're the ones that made the Shelby Miller deal.
Yeah, I know. And imagine Tony La Russa getting fired. It's just,
no,
I just can't see it. It would be stepping down or something like that. But I don't know if anything's going to happen yet. I don't think it is.
All right. Well, go enjoy your day at the ballpark, and we will talk soon. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
Okay, Brent. No problem. Bye.
All above the news and notes, AZ Central sports columnist from the ballpark. Good stuff. On the other side, Kendra D. St. Aubin will be with us. Kendra is with Fox Sports 1. She is doing the sideline of USA and Colombia at this weekend's Copa America. Copa America is here in the Valley. Big deal with Mexico and Uruguay on Sunday night at 5:00 out at the University of Phoenix. And Kendra is from the Valley and does a great job with soccer. She joins us on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Kendra D. St. Aubin joins us now. Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports. It's good to hear Kendra's voice. That means it is soccer season. You've really established yourself as a main soccer cog with Fox and the sport as a whole as you get ready for Copa America this coming weekend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great, Kendra. So USA, you have the USA match at Levi Stadium, and they're taking on Colombia on Friday night. Just how big of a tournament is this for the United States? Last I saw, they were ranked like 25th, 28th or something in the world. How big of a match is this for the USA?
Well, quite honestly, this tournament is pretty much right up there with Euros and the World Cup. There, like, pretty much is no other bigger tournament, not just for the United States, but in the world. So, and the first game, they're opening against Colombia. They're probably their toughest test of the group. They're going to go into it very similar like they did in the World Cup 2 years ago against Ghana, where you got to start off that first game like it's a final. You need to get out of that game with a win. I think it's going to be huge. I just love that the tournament is finally back in the U.S. It's the biggest thing in the U.S. for soccer for men probably since the 94 World Cup.
Is there pressure on Klinsmann to have a good showing in this tournament?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think necessarily that if they don't do well in the tournament that he would get fired. I think he's kind of solidified his spot. People seem to really love him. The uppers in U.S. soccer seem to think that he's got this, you know, country on the right track. I personally think it's really shocking that you can't find a left-footed left back in the entire United States of America, but apparently that seems to be somewhat of an issue, which you may see in the tournament this weekend. But I think he needs a good showing after they didn't do well in the Gold Cup. It's pretty important for U.S. soccer and soccer in general in the United States to keep growing and for people to get behind this men's team. Clearly the women's team has had success, but the men's team, not quite as much.
Should they contend for the Copa title?
Oh, absolutely. I think if they can get out of their group with a good showing, it should be semifinals or bust for sure. I think that they do have a really good chance, especially if Messi doesn't end up playing for Argentina. I haven't read the news stories this morning, but he hurt his back in that last friendly. So if he doesn't come over and play with Argentina, that's going to make a huge difference. But of course, you always have Brazil in there. And even Mexico is always a challenge. They're always, you know, a rival and up-and-coming country in these kind of tournaments. But you've got Brazil and you've got Argentina. it's going to be a challenge.
Kendra D. St. Aubin with us. Okay, so here in the Valley, we have Mexico and Uruguay on Sunday night. Chicharito rolls in.
Yeah.
And so if you talked a little bit about Mexico and Uruguay and that matchup here in the Valley on Sunday night.
Well, Uruguay has a huge history of winning in this tournament, even back to, obviously, this is a centenary. So it's a 100-year anniversary. So before it was even called Copa America, Uruguay had a lot of success in this tournament and even in the World Cup a long time ago. So you can never count them out. They're still a powerhouse when it comes to soccer. And Mexico, I can only imagine what the fan base is going to be like. I don't know if you saw that friendly just last weekend where Mexico was playing in Georgia. And the crowd was unbelievable. So it's not exactly where you would expect maybe a lot of Mexico fans to be coming out in full force, but they travel well. That is going to be a crazy, competitive, awesome game. And I think University of Phoenix Stadium is going to be rocking.
Okay, so you mentioned Messi and the injury. And Chicharito, if you were to talk about him a little bit and the type of player, there are going to be fans that are going to roll out there on Sunday that have never seen him before.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you haven't ever seen Chicharito play, I think it's going to be a treat. He is just one of those dynamic players up top. He's got that never-say-die attitude on top of the technical and tactical ability with that Mexican side. And he's got some good players that are surrounding him that can get him the ball, find him a way, you know, to get the ball up top, help him score. But he's also one of those players that if people are keying on him, he'll find a way to get his teammates involved because he knows everybody's keeping an eye on him and where he's at the field. But as you know, with great players, just like a Messi, the great players still are able to get it done when they're double, triple teamed. And that's the same way in any sport. Even if you get double teamed, if you can still do what you're trying to do, as we saw with Steph Curry this last night in game seven, that's the great players when they can still get the job done, even when they're being double or triple teamed. And that's what Chicharito brings. And that competitive fire and that crowd is just going to drive him even more. I think he's a fun one to watch for sure.
You mentioned Steph Curry. I mean, you're right in the epicenter of all of sports. Mm-hmm. You have the Sharks in hockey. You have, of course, the Warriors. And your event, how big is your event up in the Bay Area as you get ready for it in terms of tickets and all that stuff?
Well, we were just talking about that yesterday. My husband and I were glancing at Game 7 tickets, and I think the floor seats for Game 7 last night were going for $29,000. But we were talking about, you know, how athletes are just sports fans in general, and we see that in the Valley all the time. We see Larry Fitzgerald at a Suns game or Patrick Peterson. You know, they always seem to cross over. They head to the hockey arena. So I think it's going to be huge. A bunch of the U.S. men's players went to Game 7 last night. You know, my twins were in town, too. I'm a Minnesota fan, so I had a hard time choosing not to go to the A's-Twins game yesterday with the crazy crowd that was going to be heading to Game 7 right next door. But I think this game is right up there. They're saying Copa America tickets. They're expecting a minimum 2 million spectators across the country at all these venues. I was looking at game tickets for the Argentina game here on Monday, and the cheapest tickets you can find, not even very good seats, are close to $300 or $400 a piece. So people sometimes say United States isn't a soccer country, but I think they're underestimating the following in this country, and it's going to be a huge event, especially here in the Bay Area.
Okay, before you go, your role in all this with Fox, you're looking for angles and stories to tell, right? Is that what they have you doing in this tournament?
Yeah, in this tournament, I'm a sideline reporter for the first game for this U.S.-Colombia game. And what's nice, I love being an analyst for the games like I did for the World Cup. But being sideline, I try to sort of also bring that analyst role to the sideline, you know, where you can still bring that soccer knowledge as a sideline reporter. So that's basically what I'm doing. And then I'm going to the men's training today. I'm just going to try to get to as many trainings for the teams that are in town as possible, you know, get all the information I can get. And that's kind of my goal and follow along. But it's been really fun watching the buildup with all these U.S. friendlies heading into this game and just the hype around this tournament. You got Kobe Bryant doing, you know, TV commercials for Copa America. That's when I think you know that it's going to be a big deal.
No question about it. Appreciate the time as always, Kendra. Stay well. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. Have a great day.
There's Kendra Dane St. Aubin there. Fox Sports 1. Fox Sports, you will see her USA against Colombia. That'll be on Friday night. And then Sunday night here in the Valley, Mexico and Uruguay with Chicharito. $500 to get seats at midfield from what I'm seeing online. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.